tried during the course of the Shia possibly to straighten out the names of the kings of Yehuda and the kings of Yisrael, because there are overlapping names. There are Yehoram and Yoram in Yehuda and Yisrael, Achaziah and Yehoahaz in Yehoash and Yoash, both in Yehuda and Yisrael. There are overlapping names. But let's see, as we come to them, we'll try and straighten it out. Bishnas Esrim V'Shalosh Shana, I'm starting chapter 13. In the 23rd year of Yoash ben Achaziah Melech Yehuda, Malach Yehoahaz ben Yehu al Yisrael Bishamron, Shvayas. Do you understand? We're talking about Yoash ben Achaziah. Now, who was Yoash? Let's try and remember who Yoash was. Yoash was the little boy, the child, who was saved by the wife of Yehoyada the Kohen, Yehosheva. He is the one who at age 7 is brought out and appointed as king. It is Atayahu who is put to death, and Yoash, that's what we're talking about, Yoash, the son of Ahaziah. What happened to his father, Ahaziah? Atayahu
must have
killed him. No, Yehu killed him. Yehu killed him. When Yehu killed also, who else did he kill at that time? He killed the king of Yisrael, who was Yehoram. Another Yehoram. Yehoram, who was from the last member of the family of Achav. Yehu was the one who was going to destroy the family of Achav. It'll begin to become clear to you. Now we're talking about Yoash, who is the son of Ahaziah. And as we say, oh, that's good. And as we said, Ahaziah is the one who was put to death. He was killed in Yisrael by Yehu. Yoash, remember, the Pasuk had said that when Ataliyahu, the mother of Ahaziahu, had seen that her son was killed, then she destroyed the entire family of the king, and she assumed power. She had power for 6 years. Then, of course, she's put to death by the uprising against her. Yoash is appointed as king. He is the son of Ahaziah, the king of Judah. Who becomes king now? This in Yisrael, the second generation of Yehu. And that's Yehoahaz ben Yehu al Yisrael b'Shomron, and he was king for 17 Shana, for 17 years. How long will Yoash, the son of Ahaziah, be king? 40. They had said it earlier. You just have to, you have to review. You have to remember he's going to be king for a long time, for 40 years. In the 17th year of his, in the 23rd year of his reign, Yehoahaz ben Yehu is going to become king in Shomron, which means, and he's going to be king for 17 years, which means at about the time that Yehoahaz's kingdom comes to an end, also Yoash's will come. How much is 23 and 17 is 40. Even though it's not going to work out. Fact is, one of the things that I didn't deal with in our study of Malachim Bet, and I don't want to get into it because it becomes so confusing, to keep the years synchronized, because not always will it work out. Here's one of the cases where it's not going to work out that perfect, because the Mefarshim say that very often the Navi counts the same year for two kings as the year of the last year of the previous king and first year of the new king. So after a number of kings, we've lost 2 or 3 years here or in one way or the other. Anyway, Vayas Horah Be'eni Hashem, we're talking now about Yehoahaz, the king of Yisrael. He did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Vayelech HaChachatos Yerovim Ben Nevat Asher Hechati Et Yisrael. He followed the sins of Yerovim, the son of Nevat, who had caused Israel to sin. Lo Sar Mimenu, he didn't turn away from that. And here Rashi says, as Rashi has said a number of times, they had difficulty, even the good kings of Yisrael were not able to shake themselves free of the sins of Yerovam. Because the sins of Yerovam were rooted not so much in idolatry as they were in political expedience. the kings of Yisrael didn't want Jews to go to Yerushalayim three times a year. They didn't want the Aliyah L'Regel. Because if there would be the Aliyah L'Regel, if Jews would, from Yisrael would be going to Yehuda, what would happen would be that they would see the greatness and the prominence and the power of the king of Yehuda, and here the king of Yisrael is going to be no more than just another pilgrim who has come to Yerushalayim. Yes?
So the Kohanim are still conducting Korbanot?
Oh, yeah. Where?
Under the reigns of all the kings of Yehuda, they were carrying on their...
Absolutely, the Kohanim were in... You know when you're going to hear about it? You're going to hear about it when we come by the end of the next chapter or the beginning of the chapter after that. Who? Uzziyahu. Uzziyahu. Uzziyahu, king of Yehuda, who in Divrei Hayamim is called Azariah, is going to go into the Beis HaMikdash and he is going to want to bring Ketoret. You know, it's, well, listen, we'll save that for then. Then all of a sudden we're going to see the Kohanim coming to the fore.
Wasn't the one who said Yoash also a Kohanim?
No. Yoash is from the family of David.
Then who saved him?
Oh, he was saved, yes. He was saved by Yehoyada. Absolutely, and he was the Kohen Gadol. He was the Kohen Gadol. Yes, so that's true that when we talked about the... It was the Kohanim who saved the kingdom. The Kohanim were the ones who cared for Yoash, and it was the Kohen Gadol who planned the coronation of Yoash and the assassination of Ataliyahu. Vayicharach Hashem b'Yisrael. God got angry with Israel by his name, Biyat Hazael Melech Aram, and he gave him into the hands of Hazael, the king of Aram. Ubiyab ben Hadad ben Chazoel kol hayamim. Chazoel is going to die and his son is going to be ben Hadad. He will be ben Hadad the third. We've been having a lot of trouble with ben Hadads all along. And remember, both Eliyahu and Elisha are the ones who prophesied that Chazoel is going to become king of Aram and that he's going to cause great suffering for the Jewish people. Now we come, Pasuk Dalet is an unusual Pasuk. There is no other pasuk like that with regard to any of the kings of Yehuda or Yisrael. Vayechal Yehoahaz et pnei Hashem. Yehoahaz prayed before God. What does this bring to mind? One other place where it says Vayechal. After the sin of the Egel, Vayechal Moshe et pnei Hashem Elokav. Moshe, Vayechal is one of the words that means prayer, and Vayechal usually means a prayer of great kavana, great emotion. And the fact is, when did Moshe Rabbeinu, when does the Torah use Vayechal with regard to Moshe? When God has just told him, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people and I'm going to make you into a great nation. It's at that moment that Vayechal Moshe over here, the suffering that Chazoel and Ben Hadad must have been causing for the Jewish people that was that great, that Vayechal Yehoahaz et pnei Hashem, Vayishma Eilav Hashem, here is going to begin another important theme. And this theme is extremely important for our days as well. It's of extreme contemporary importance. It's going to begin here, and I believe that it's going to peak at the end of chapter 14. Vayishma Elav Hashem, God listened to him. Ki ro et lachatz Yisrael, because he saw the oppression of Israel, ki lachatz otam melech Aram, the king of Aram had oppressed them. There are times that God will bring salvation even though one will look around and say they are unworthy of it. Because God, as a father toward a son, cannot bear the oppression. And sometimes the suffering of Klal Yisrael is that great for him that he decides he's going to bring a savior, though they are unworthy. Remember, the same Ochaz, it just said before about him that Vayas Horah Be'enei Hashem, He did that which was evil. And then the next pasuk says, "Vayicharav Hashem Yisrael." God got angry with Israel, and therefore He sent Chazal and Ben-Hadad against them. Yehoahaz is not going to become a great tzaddik as a result of this tefillah. And therefore the pasuk tells us, it's not so much the tefillah of Yehoahaz that makes the difference. What makes the difference is God is incapable of watching the pain of the Jewish people. Vayiten Hashem liYisrael Moshiach. So therefore God brought for Yisrael a savior. Vayetzu mitachat yad Aram. They came out from beneath the hand of Aram. Vayeshu bnei Yisrael ba'ahaleim kitmol shilshom. And the children of Israel lived in their tents as they had before that. Who is the Moshiach? Who is the Moshiach? In Shoftim, that the next thing I was going to say is that this is sort of taken straight out of the style of Sefer Shoftim, straight out of the style of Sefer Shoftim. The who was the? Go ahead, read the Rashi.
Et Yahwash ben Yehoshua, ben Yehoshua, bo shalosh kimin,
you're going to see that later on in this chapter. I think later on in this chapter, the beginning of the next chapter, that there's going to be war between Yoash and the king of Aram, and he is going to save Yisrael from the hands of Aram. There are other Mepharshim who say that Aram was attacked by a third nation. And because they were attacked by a third nation, he no longer was able to concentrate on his attack over on Klal Yisrael. So therefore that's going to take the pressure off Yisrael. The Yoash story we're going to see, I don't know, I lose track already of the prakim. It's this parak. What? Then it's in 14? Yeah, okay. All right. Now, when it says that they lived in their tents, I'm not so sure that people were living in tents at those times. Do you think people were living in tents? I think tents was the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And even in the days of Yaakov already, they had built houses. In the days of the Dor HaPlaga, they're building houses. The term that they lived in their tents, the tent always represents something that unprotected. Open to the elements. It means that there was a sense of peace and tranquility in Eretz Yisrael. There was no fear. There was no fear of attack. No fear of attack. So then, when there's fear of attack, so people move into the into walled cities. No! You're able to walk the streets. You're able to live wherever you wanted. That's what the Ohel represents. Yes?
One of them is temporary,
Tikkah
or Ohel. Which is more temporary?
Matovu, no, what you're thinking of is Matovu Ohalecho Yaakov Mishkinotecha Yisrael. Ohel is temporary and Mishkan represents that which is solid. But Sukkah and Ohel are both temporary, except that Sukkah is temporary from time. Sukkah is only used for a specified amount of time. Even if we're talking about the Sukkot that were built out in the fields, they were built for the summer, and after the summer it was all over. The Ohel could be used all year round. It was temporary in terms of the material with which it was constructed.
No, rain would enter the Sukkah, and rain doesn't.
And rain does not enter the
What Kitmol
Shoshan?
The only time they had
peace
between the
time of Shoshan. Kitmol Shoshan means before Chazoel and Ben Hadad began to oppress them. Because the Pasuk had said very clearly. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael vayitnein b'yad Chazoel Melech Aram. The pressure of Chazoel ben Melech Aram was removed. I mean, here we're beginning to see even more openly the hand of God moving in history. Something happens to Klal Yisrael, it is God who has determined that it should happen. Certainly when we're talking at a time of Gilui Panim, where God is revealed to the Jewish people, it's the period of the first Beth HaMikdash. Following that, there are going to be periods in which God is either silent or acts in concealment. But now we're talking about God acting in the open, and we're going to see this becoming more and more intense as we go along. Ach lo saru mechatot beit Yerovam asher hechati et Yisrael. I was waiting for Sora to say that. Why did you chaperize hechati without an aleph at the end? Huh? Well, you can't really create any more Kree than you create without an aleph. I mean, can you tell me the difference between hechati with the...
No, I'm just saying it's...
Ach lo saru mechatot beit Yerovam asher hechati et Yisrael bo halach. They did not turn from the sins of the house of Yerovam, who had caused Israel to sin, and in that way they went. V'gam ha'asherah amda v'shamram. There was an asherah in Shamran. Asherah was worse than the Argolim. But, by the way, I have not dismissed your question. One of the Mefarshim says, and it's very beautiful, this is something also that I try to point out to you from time to time. Occasionally, a word, the end of a word, will draw the first letter at the beginning of the next word. The aleph of et, which comes after hecheti, that aleph serves as the aleph at the end of hecheti, and it serves as the aleph of et. And this is not something that happens infrequently. There are times, there are even halachot that we learn in Torah from the fact that a letter is moved, a letter from the beginning of the word attaches to the end of the word before.
So there's a reason why it's missing.
Huh?
There's a reason why it's missing.
Yeah, you see, I knew I wouldn't get away with it. I knew I wouldn't get away with it. And I was, what she's asking, why Bedavka here did the pasuk decide to leave out the other? So since I haven't seen anything in the Mefarshim, I said they're stuck on. Now the Asherah was much worse than the Argolim. Yeah, we've said it before, and it has to be said again. The Chet of Yerovam ben Nevat was not a Chet, and was not a sin of idolatry. They served the one God. But those of you who heard the shir that I said yesterday, they decided on their own form. And therefore they're going to worship him through an egel. The egel represents God. Called the egel, representing what? Something that represents the God in heaven. But they believe in that one God. So at worst, I mean, I'm saying it's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's good. But what it is not so much a sin of idolatry as a sin of graven images. Those are two completely different prohibitions in Torah. Torah says you're not allowed to make a graven image. You can't make an image of a human being. You can't make an image of anything. A sculpture, a real sculpture of certain bodies is prohibited. So the argolim that were in Dan and in Beit El was a sin of graven images. It was not a sin of idolatry. By the way, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri says that was the sin of the Egel Hazav. The Egel Hazav was not a rejection of God. They wanted something. They needed something that they can touch, that they can feel, that they can hold, something that they could relate to as in place of the God of heaven. The Asherah was real idolatry. And the Asherah was one of the ugliest of the idolatries. Yes, it was a tree, but its worship was sexual promiscuity. Asherah is was an ugly form of idolatry. Kilo Hisha, now take a look. Now the Pasuk is telling us, you know, sometimes, and this is another form of the way in which Tanakh is written, sometimes they're going to tell you they're going to tell you a whole story, the end of the story, and then they're going to fill in the details. There's the klal, and then after the klal will come the prat. After the general story will come the details. Kilo hishili Yehoachos am Chazoil, when he attacked Israel, did not leave Yehoachos with a nation. Kim chamishim parashim. You know what he was left with? The great king of Israel was left with 50. Now parashim, the word parashim can be used in one of two ways. Either the horses, or the horses and the riders. 50 cavalry, v'asora rechev, and 10 chariots, 10 tanks. Baseret alafim ragli, and 10,000 infantry. Do you know what that means? We're going to see soon they're going to put together armies of hundreds of thousands. Chazel had made a churban. Ki ibdam melech Aram, because the king of Aram had destroyed them. Vayesimen ke'ofro ladosh. You know what the king of Aram, Chazel, had done with the forces of Israel and all of their material, their men, their material, their horses? He crushed, ground into dust. That's what he made them. The Yeter Divrei Yehoachaz, the Chol Asher Aso Gvurato, the rest of the story of Yehoachaz and all that he had done in his greatness, his strength, although in Tzuv Mal Sefer Divrei Yom L'Malch Yisrael, it's written in the Sefer of Divrei Yom L'Malch Yisrael. Vayishkav Yehoachaz Mavosav, Vayigberu B'Shomron, they buried him in Shomron, Vayimloch Yoash Beno Tachtav, his son Yoash rules in his place. Now, another one of the moments at which there's great confusion, because there's going to be a brief period of time where both the king of Yehuda and the king of Yisrael are Yoash Yehoash. And therefore the pasuk says, Vishnash Loshim Vishavah Shana Li Yoash Melech Yehuda. Don't ask me to shout in this pasuk. I don't want to hear from anybody, because I've already...
Not
the traveling hay. You're thinking, you have your mind on the traveling hay. I won't even begin to try that, because now we're going to have two kings who are Yoash, Yehoash, Yehoash, Yoash. I don't know what to do. But no, what I thought you would jump at, 37, when it should have been 40. Right, so therefore now you know why I prepared you for this. In the 37th year of Yoash, the king of Yehuda, Malach Yehoash ben Yehoachaz al Yisrael b'Shomron 16 shana. You have the Rashi over there. So Rashi says about the date in this pasuk, Mikra zen mukhash mishnei tzad, in this pasuk is contradicts itself and seems troublesome from two sides. V'lo matzasi lo metakein, and I didn't find anybody who can fix up this pasuk. Because the Rashi is ready to go as far that it should have been at least the 39th year. Shehoya lo lama, it should have said shloshim v'teisha, in the 39th year of Yoash, the king of Yehuda, Yehoash, the son of Yehoachaz, became king over Yisrael. Who was Yehoachaz' father? Yehu. That means we are now up to the third generation of Yehu. There are going to be four generations of Yehu. Yehu, Yehoachaz, Yehoash, and then there's going to be Yerovam ben Yehoash, or Yerovam ben Yoash, and he is a major figure in terms of Hashgacha, and I may yet take you ahead to Yerovam ben Yoash before this year is over.
The Divrei Hayamim doesn't show anything that happened at the end of...
I don't want to talk about it now.
No, that may shed some light on it.
Oh, everything sheds... everything sheds light. But over here... there's nothing... No, it doesn't say anything. The only thing. All right, there are a few things that will be said, but not with regard to Yehoahaz. No, it's with regard to Yoash, the king of Yehuda. There are going to be a number of things. Anyway, watch.
Yerovam is the son of Yoash.
there's going to be a Yerovam not yet mentioned. I say at the end, there's going to be a Yerovam, the son of Yoash, or Yehoash, whichever you wish, the son. Yeah. You're getting, you see, I'm going to deconfuse you. Watch. Just one moment. You want to take, what? No, no, I think if you just listen to me, I'll straighten you out. Just listen to me. Can you take one moment and go to chapter 14, the next chapter? Pasuk Chav Gimel.
Yeah.
Bishnas Chameshes Reishono La'amatziyahu Ben Yoash Melech Yehuda. In the interim, remember the pasuk that we just learned was either the 37th year or the 39th year of Yoash, king of Yehuda. Yoash, king of Yehuda, is going to die within a year. Who is going to become king after him over Yehuda? Amatziyahu. Amatziyahu. Now, what's happening in Yisrael again? We had Yehu, we had Yehoahaz, and then we now have Yehoash, the third generation of Yehu. So as I said, there's a year or two that both countries have a king, Yoash. And by the way, you know what I should have told you, Sarala?
Yes.
In the pasuk that we had just learned in chapter 13, it's clear they have to be differentiated. So the king of Yehuda is called Yoash, and the king of Israel is called Yehoash.
Is that consistent, Doc?
I didn't. What did I say? I say in pasuk 10, where they are both mentioned.
Uh-oh.
Right? Where they're mentioned together, they have to be distinguishable.
However, Yehoash of Yehuda came before Yehoash of Israel, and the hay should have been.
Right. I only said the reason for one thing now.
Okay, that's understood.
That was understood? Okay. That's all I wanted to explain. I don't know if I can explain everything up, but we're going to try. Now watch. Are you now in chapter 14?
Yes.
After Yoash, the king of Yehuda, there's going to be Amatziyahu. And in the 15th year of Amatziyahu ben Yoash, the king of Yehuda, who becomes king? Yerovam ben Yoash. Molach, Yerovam ben Yoash. Yerovam ben Yoash, therefore, is the fourth generation of Yehu. There was Yehu, Yehoachaz, Yehoash, and Yerovam.
Okay,
he obviously has to be Yerovam Hasheni because the first king of Israel was Yerovam ben Nevat. What bothers me is I tell you, the fact that his father gave him the name Yerovam, I wouldn't call one of my kids Yerovam. Understand? Today there are, no, there are Nimrods over here in this country, Chachman and Itzlan. There are Omris.
There's Italia.
Huh?
There's Italia.
There are Talias also.
Italia.
Al Italia or just plain Italia?
Also Hagar.
Hagar is not so bad. Hagar is not so bad. If the Gemara even says, Tosfos says you don't call somebody Avshalom. It was one of the nightmares of my childhood. There was one person, I don't remember who he was. Every time he'd meet me, he called me Avshalom. And he said, I was a little boy, I knew I shouldn't be named that. And I asked him, why do you call me that? So he said, because that's the name they gave you at your bris. I was at your bris. My name is Avraham Shalom. I think it is. Or I made it that anyway. My father didn't call me Avshalom. My father was Ayid HaKreshet Talmud Chacha.
They called you to the Torah, they called you Avram Shalom.
No, well, because I always told them. But they asked me what my name was, not this fellow. Mamash, I haven't thought of this in 55 years. No, you have to hear clearly at prison. Now, Yerovam ben Yoash is extremely important. Yerovam ben Yoash becomes king of Yisrael b'Shomron. Arboim va'achashana, Yerovam ben Yoash is going to be king for 41 years. Vayas ha'ra b'ine Hashem. He did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Lo sor mikol katos Yerovam ben Nevat. He did not turn away from the sins of Yerovam ben Nevat. Asher hechet yes Yisrael. All right, okay. So here there is an aleph, okay? Boy, I hope nobody ever listens to this tape. Now, the next few psukim are the Yesod HaHashkofer of our generation. We know that Yerovam ben Yoash is a Rosha. It says about him, Vayasorah b'nei Hashem, lo sor mikol chatos Yerovam. Hu heishiv es gvul Yisrael. This is a pasuk that you have to learn b'al peh. Who heshivet gvul Yisrael, he returned the boundaries of Israel. Milvot chamat ad yam ha'arava. When we get to the pasuk later on, we may have to look at a map, but I'm telling you, he returned lands that had been conquered and taken away from Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, you're going to see it in chapter 13, as you see it over here in chapter 14, in both of them you're going to see that the term that is used is heshiv, to return lands. Because all of these lands were lands that were part of biblical Eretz Yisrael, and you never conquered that which was ours to begin with. Tanakh always uses hu heishiv, he returned. He brought back the boundaries of Israel from the Vochamas ad Yam Ha'arava. A vast area. Yehovam ben Yoash the Rosha had conquered a vast area of Eretz Yisrael, reconquered a vast area of Eretz Yisrael. So of course the question that may be going through your mind is, why is this Rasha the instrument of such great chesed? Why is this Rasha the instrument of God's great benevolence? Kedvar Hashem, so you should know this was the word of God, Elokei Yisrael, Asher Diber Biyad Avdo Yonah ben Amitai Anavi. God had sent such word through his servant, the prophet Yonah ben Amitai, Asher Migat HaChefer, who was from the place Gat HaChefer. Why did the Rabbeinu Shalom do this? They were undeserving. They were unworthy. Ki ro'a Hashem et oni Yisrael, because God saw the suffering of Israel. Mora ma'od, it was terribly fearsome. Ve'efes otzor ve'efes ozov. Yisrael were left without any kind of resources. Otzor means money or wealth from within. Ozov, that which is out in the field. Cattle they don't have. Wealth they don't have, and more than anything else, ve'ein ozer li Yisrael, there isn't a single person or land or country who is ready to come to the aid of Israel. Velo, the next pasuk is even more important to know. Ba'al peh velo diber Hashem limchot Hashem Yisrael. God had never said, never thought that the name of Israel should be erased mitachat hashemayim, from beneath the heavens. Vayoshien, so he saved them piyad Yerovam ben Yoash. Yes, he saved them through the hands of Yerovam ben Yoash. What is it that is so terribly important about these two psukim? Because there is an opinion in the extreme Orthodox world that the Rabbeinu Shem doesn't bring Nisim through Rishuim. Durch Rishuim bringt man nicht Nisim. And this in Ad Hayom Hazeh, within major sectors of the Haredi community, this is considered a, what are you talking about? Imam Ibn Manishrei, the Rebbeinu Shem doesn't use Rishum. Chayelei Tzach Gunel Yisroel, what are you talking about? Through them, through Tziyayim Kaifrim, Ben Gurion is going to be the one who's going to bring grace to Nisim, Yitzchak Rabin, what are you talking about? Can't be. That's Sheker. It's Sheker, Sheker, Sheker. And these are the psukim that prove it. When the Rebbeinu Shem saw that the suffering of Klal Yisrael was awesome and terrible, imagine the Shoah. The Ein Ozer Yisrael, there's nobody who's going to come to the aid of Klal Yisrael. The whole world has shut, closed their countries before Klal Yisrael. Velo Divar Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shem never, never wanted that the name of Israel should be erased. Therefore, he will bring the Yeshua through whomever he chooses, whoever is ready and on the spot and can be used as the instrument of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great benevolence, he's the one. And don't anybody tell the Rebbeinu Shem who to use and who not to use. Yerovam and Yoash, these two, three psukim of Yerovam ben Yoash These two, three psukim are a yesod ha-hashkafa, and the fact is that we will see retroactively that the same thing happened with other kings of Israel. Take a look, Yehoahaz over here is not a great tzaddik. But what's Klal Yisrael left with? With 50 cavalry and 10 tanks and 10,000 infantry. We're talking about a Klal Yisrael that is in grave danger. So the Rebbeinu will use whoever is his instrument, whoever he chooses. We're not Balabatim to tell the Rebbeinu Shalala. Huh? And whenever he chooses. And then maybe I should correct one. And then I should correct one other thing. I'm not ready to accept the idea that those people who were used were such terrible reshuim. I'm not the one to decide who's a Rosh and who's not a Rosh. Don't tell me that, I don't know. That's not my job to decide who's a Rosh. You know, sometimes I do. And when I do, so obviously I'll find, no, I'm looking at everybody. What are you getting so nervous about? Yes.
Yeah, there are all kinds of mitzvahs.
Yeah, we're right. There's all sorts of things. Sarah was just telling me of a lecture that was given last night by Rabbi Kadosa, at which Riva Pak was present, and she told me that. At least she remembered that part of this year was. She said I would have liked it. It happens to be one of my tapes, my first series, the tape on Parshat Bishalach, the Meshech Chochma, where the Meshech Chochma says that when Klal Yisrael, you know what he talks specifically about? In one sentence over there, the Meshech Chochma says, "Bavinuseinu Arabim Chilul Shabbos is widespread. God is not going to punish for Chilul Shabbos. Because when sins of a religious nature, of a Bein Odom LaMakom nature, become widespread, God doesn't punish. Do you know when God does punish? He punishes when sins of Bein Odom LaChaveru become widespread.
No, that was the plug.
That's all the Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma begins by bringing the Talmud Yerushalmi, where the Talmud Yerushalmi says, "Bimei Achav, in the days of Achav, Jews would go down to battle and they didn't fall in battle. And in the days of David, they went down to battle and Jews fell in battle." You understand? Achav, that Arashah. And in the days of Achav, miracles happen on the field of battle. People go down to war, they're not killed. And in the days of David, yes. So the Talmud Yerushalmi, so Yerushalmi and Peah, Mesech the Peah. So Talmud Yerushalmi says, why? In the days of David, there were misaprei loshen hara, the people who spoke loshen hara. Doeg ha'adomi is the one who told Shaul that David had been at the in Nov Ir HaKohanim, and Nov Ir HaKohanim had assisted David. Therefore, they are rebellious and should be destroyed and they're wiped out. And in the days of Achav, Ovadia is providing for 100 prophets, 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave. And we're talking about this is a major operation.
It came from the palace.
And the food came from the palace. You remember, I sure you remember very well. And the food came from the palace. And not a word is whispered to Achav or to Izebel. There were no dlifot, no leaks. So therefore, I'm saying... The important thing is not to lose sight of these few psukim. When the Rebbeinu sees the suffering of Klal Yisrael, and he just can't take it, therefore he will bring his Yeshua in his way through his people. There was also, maybe you should remember, Shir, if I can remember, a pasuk, I think it was in Shoftim, chapter 11. I went crazy over that pasuk, huh? Wait a minute. Give me 1 minute. Just. Here it is. It's in the middle of the period of the Shoftim. It's in chapter 10. Pasuk 16, just the end of the pasuk says, "Va'tiktzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. Four words. Batik tzar nafsho. The Rebbe Shem's soul was incapable of tolerating the suffering of Klal Yisrael. Couldn't take it. Batik tzar nafsho. In other words, it's like talking about the Rebbe Shem like a human being who is in great pain. Batik tzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. I don't have the great words to translate it in chapter 10, pasuk 16, the list, shoftim, the last four words, batik tzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. There's something about these words that is just so powerful. All right. Anyway. All right, let's go. We're going back to 13. But those psukim at the end of 14... And those psukim at the end of 14 are the yesod of Ashkofa of our time. Just as they were the yesod of Ashkofa then. And we're going to be talking there about Yerovam and Yoash, who's bad news. He's going to be the end of the house of Yehu. But the Rebbe Shlalem has his own cheshbayis. And the basic cheshbon is, he cannot tolerate the suffering of the Jewish people. Back to 13. So pasuk 10 we learned. It's the 37th or the 39th year of Yoash, the king of Yehuda. Yehoash ben Yehoachaz becomes king of Israel in Shomron for 16 years. Vayaseh hara ben Yashem. He did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Lo saw mikol chatos yirav minavot asher hechet yes Yisrael bohalach. He went in the same way of Yerovam ben Nevat, the Yeted Divrei Yoash, the Chol Asher Osa, Ugvurato Asher Nilcham Im Amatzio Melech Yehuda. Here we're going to need Divrei Hayam. In the relationship between Amatzio, king of Yehuda, he has not yet been mentioned. This is the first time Amatzio is mentioned. There was a very strange and strained relationship between Amatzio, king of Yehuda, and Yehoash, king of Israel. So the fact that there was war between him and Amatzio, king of Yehuda, alo imtsu ma'asefe divrei yom l'malchi Yisrael, v'yishkav Yoash imarotov, v'yerovam yoshav al kiso, v'yikover Yoash b'shomron imalchi Yisrael. Yoav dies, Yerovam, his son, sits upon his throne, and Yoash is buried in Shomron and Malchi Yisrael.
Do we still know where that is today? The place of the burial place? A lot of people.
I have no idea. It's most probably like for the last 10 years I wanted to take you out on a field trip. Maybe one of these days we'll do it. You have some nice spring day.
Before it gets hot.
Not till after Pesach. The Elisha Chola Chol Yoashit. We haven't heard about Elisha now in a number of broken. We haven't heard about Elisha. But Elisha is not yet dead. Now begins the process of his final illness and he's going to die. Elisha has been Navi for a period of close to 60 years. And Elisha took ill the illness from which he would die. So Yehuda and Yisrael, there's always a ray of light. They're never just plain all bad. And therefore, that of course has to raise in general the question: how bad were they when they were bad? Here, the king of Israel, Yoash, whom we just now said, Fayas Hora, he did that which was evil in the eyes of God. When he finds out that Elio is sick, Vayeda Delov, he went down to him. Yoash, king of Israel, went down to him. Vayev Galpanov, the only king about whom it says that he cried. Vayev Galpanov Vayome, in the face of Elisha, he cried, and do you know what he says? Everything has come full cycle yet. Now, what Elisha said about Eliyahu when Eliyahu was taken up in a storm of fire heavenward, this is what he says about Elisha. Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael, Parasha, my father, you are the chariot of Israel and the infantry. And as Chazal explained, and we said it earlier, that Elisha as Eliyahu, that prayer was greater than all of the greatest armies. They were the real army of Klal Yisrael, Rechev Yisrael u'Parasha. Ayomelo Elisha told him, kach keshet v'chitzim, take a bow and arrows. Vayikach ilav keshet v'chitzim. By the way, remember it said vayeded, the king of Israel went down to him. Does the went down represent that he's going, I don't know, from north to south, from 800 meters above sea level to 500 meters above sea level? Or does Vayeded mean a king of Israel, in a sense, is shedding his royalty and all of the trappings of power, and when he stands before Elisha, you know what he is? A son before a father. Avi, Avi, Rechem Yisrael, Uparashav. He's not king. Before Elisha, he stands like a yingala in front of his father.
It's just a flashback, because already before that, it said he died.
Yeah, because they had told us earlier about the end of his career, but now they're telling us,
you know, it's Lahavdil, in a newspaper obituary.
Yeah.
The top is the death, and then they fill in the whole life.
They fill in the whole life. The clown, and then the prophet, okay.
Yeah, it often happens. The first you tell us what happened, then they go into the Bible.
Yeah, in other words, when Elisha's prophecy was ended, so they told us that he died. When? We'll find out. What? Vayom al-Melech Yisrael, he said to the king of Israel, Harkev yadcha akeshet. Harkev yadcha. In other words, there's a certain way in which you have to put your hand over the bow in order, you know, to hold the bow. Vayarkev yado. And he had the bow in his hand ready to shoot. Vayosem Elisha yadov al yedei al-Melech. Elisha placed his hands over the hands of the king. And he said, open the window facing to the east. And he opened it. Elisha said, Yirei, shoot, Vayor. And he shot. I mean, there's something very interesting over here. All the instructions are being given in very precise language, shoot, open, harkev yadcha, harkev yadcha. I should have pointed this out some time earlier. There were a few instances of this. Israelis should be able to understand it, especially those who went through the army. In the army, language is different. The army has a language all of its own. They don't have time for anything. So therefore, you have to be a goyin adir, either a great genius or an 18-year-old kid who goes into the army in order to know all of the abbreviations of the army.
Yeah.
You put on your shachpats before you get into the nagmash, all of the rashi tevis. There are few words, they don't have many words, because in the army you have to be able to speak in clipped, not even sentences. But you know, orders, instructions, quick. We don't have time for all of the niceties of normal speech. So the army always has its own kind of terminology, and not only the words that I use, but the way they are expressed. And here is a classic example. Elisha tells him, "Kach keshet v'chitzen." Understand? Yeah, straight. It's like an order, an instruction. The commander in chief is Elisha. He is Rechav Yisrael Parashav. He is not. In other instances, we have Adoni HaMelech, right? Kingi, Im Nomotsasi Chain Beinecha, Vim Tova Nilifanecha, No Bevakasha, Tuma Teve, take please, Ka Keshet Rechitza. That would be completely out. That's not the kind of, that's not the way one is speaking. What I have to explain, of course, here is that Elisha is in fact talking to a Melech Yisrael. But they are now talking to one another, they are talking to one another as soldiers, not even as Navi and Melech. Soldiers. And they understand that terminology. Kach keshet v'chitzen. And the response of the king is, Vayikach. I love keshet v'chitzen. Perfect. Vayom al-Melech Yisrael, harkev yodcha la keshet. Second order, vayarkev yodcha. You see the, this is military terminology. Open the chalon to the east. Vayifta. Vayomer Elisha Yirei. Shoot. Vayor. Vayomer. Elisha said, Chetz Tshua Lashem, Vechetz Tshua Baram. This is the arrow of God's salvation. This is the arrow of the salvation in Aram. Vehikito at Aram, Ba'afek at Kaleh. You will destroy Aram at Afek. It's the name of a place. Ad Kaleh, until you destroy them. One of the battles between Achav and Ben-Hadad, either the first or the second, had taken place in Afek, Afeka. And it was a battle in which Aram was shattered. They're going to be destroyed again in Afeka. That was the battle at which Ben-Hadad fled, and he hid someplace in a closet, Achav finally meets him and takes him up and brings him up onto the chariot, and he says to him, "Achi, my brother," for which he is punished. Vayomer, kach achitzim. The orders continue. Military, clipped. Vayomer, he said, kach achitzim, take the arrows. Vayikach, and he took. Vayomer lemelech Yisrael, hach arza. He said to the king of Israel, beat it on the ground. Take the arrows and hit them onto the ground. Vayach shalosh pamim, and he hit three times. Vayamol. If this fellow would have ever gone through a Hoshana Rabbah in our shuls, you understand, he would not have made the mistake that he just made. Every siddur says to, at what spot should you do it? I don't know why I always, when we come to Hoshanas on Hoshana Rabbah, I think of every Elal flight. Every Elal flight, they tell you, when you land, you know, remain in your seat until the plane comes to a complete stop. Nobody understands Hebrew, English, French. There are already those people who are getting up and they're pulling out their things, and they all lose sight of the fact it's not going to make any difference anyway. You're going to have to line up for passport control. You're going to have to line up and wait until your luggage comes out. But they think they're going to save 1 minute if they get up. By Hoshanis also, it says, you know, you have to wait until it says to 10 times during the tefillah that there'll be people are going to take out their Hoshanis beforehand. They have not yet, the plane has not yet reached its parking spot. And then it says 5 times you're supposed to hark. Hark minima, over there. Over here he made a mistake. Vayach shalosh pamim, vayamot, and he stopped. Vayitzof olav Yishol Kim, the man of God, was angry with him. Vayomer, lahakot chamesh o sheish pamim, and he said, if you would have hit the arrow 5 or 6 times, oz hikita ed ha adam ad kalei, you would have smitten Acham until you would have destroyed him. Va'atla now, shalosh pamim takeat Aram, 3 times and no more.
How was he supposed to know that?
He didn't tell him how many
times. Good question. Both of you asked good questions.
He was all the time with orders. So
that's the answer. What? Now you know why I built it up? To make sure that I'm going to stop the two of you. They asked a good question. How is the melech supposed to know to keep going? Because he didn't. So she answered, because this is a military order. If the Navi is saying hit, then you know what he has to do? As he keep hitting until he gets the order, stop. Now you know why I built up the whole idea that we're talking about orders. This is, he had no business stopping. That's right, keep going until you get specific instructions otherwise.
Well, before that it says shoot, and he shot. He didn't tell him to stop shooting.
Because the moment he shot,
there were no arrows.
That's it.
Okay.
There was nothing else for him to do. But when he tells him this order, then he's supposed to keep hacking and hacking and hitting the arrow on the ground until Okay. Stop. By Yomas Elisha, and Elisha died by Yikperu, and they buried him. And the there were bands from Moab who would come into Eretz Yisrael year after year. There were times of the year in which they would come and attack. You know, there were the terrorist attacks. By Yehihin Kovri Mishan, it came to pass once as they were burying a man, Vihinei Roet HaGadud, in the middle of the Levaya, there is a terrorist attack. By Yashlichu to Ish B'Kever Elisha, they threw the body into the burial place of Elisha. According to many of the Mefarshim, it was like, not that they dug up a grave. Dug up a grave. The Chevra Kedisha, the guys from Yerushalayim would come and demonstrate over there. What do you mean you're digging up a grave and you're digging up the grave of Elisha? They used to bury in caves. So they threw him into the cave where the grave of Elisha was. Vayelech vayigal ish v'atzmos Elisha, the body of the dead man touched the bones of Elisha. Vayichi. And he came to life. Vayachom haraglav. And he got up on his feet. In other words, Elisha is a man of miracles not only in his lifetime, but also after his lifetime. Just as in a sense, Eliyahu left Elisha, who was the continuation of his miracles after he had passed from the scene. You say, I was very careful about Eliyahu, not to say after Eliyahu had died, you would have jumped on me. Elisha was the continuation of Eliyahu. Elisha continues following his death as well. There is a machlokas in the... does it mean that this was a Tchiyas HaMeisim and the man just lived happily ever after?
Most
of the Mefarshim say that Vayechi, he lived Vayokom HaRaglav, he lived so that he should be able to go someplace else and die there. In other words, not... Some say that he lived for a brief period of time, and it was L'chvodo Shel Elisha. So that Elisha, even after his death, was able to perform miracles. The Gemara says about this, Rav Chama Bar Chanina says, Gedolim tzadikim b'mitatam yoter mibchayehen. Tzadikim are greater in their death than they are in their life. And Rashi over there explains, because the pasuk says, Vayigar ha'ish ba'atzmot Elisha v'yechi. Which means the following. In what way is the tzaddik greater in death than he is in life? When he brought the child back to life, he had to pray. He had to walk back and forth. He had to place his body upon the body of the child. Elisha had to do a great deal until he brought the child back to life. Over here, in his death, merely the fact that the body touches his bones already comes to life. The Chazor Melech Adam. We got to finish... will we finish it? Yeah, we're going to finish.
Yeah, we'll finish.
Just a few psukim. The Chazor, and I had planned on doing two prakim, but we did part of 14. The Chazor Melech Aram Lochatz and Shisrael Kol Yimei Ha'ochaz. Chazor, the king of Aram, oppressed Israel all the days of Yehoachaz. Vayochan Hashem Otam. Here is another great pasuk. One of the psukim that has to be remembered. Vayochan Hashem Otam Vayirachamein Vayifen Aleihem Leman Brito et Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov v'lo ova hashritam v'lo hishlicha me'al panav ad ata. This is a pasuk that is so full of meaning. Even when Israel is unworthy, or even when we think Israel is unworthy, God has standards of his own, and those standards are related to the way he feels. Vayacham. So first of all, you have the word Vayacham from Chanina. He favored them, he graced them. Vayirachamein. By the way, the word Vayirachamein really has two meanings. And the two meanings are interrelated. He had mercy upon them. That's how we usually understand Rachamein. But that's not the only meaning of Rachamein. No, Rachamein means love. In Aramaic, Rachamei means love, and it means friend. Three meanings we have for the word Rachamim. Vayifan aleim, therefore he turned toward them. He turned to see their suffering. Leman brito, and because of his covenant, the covenant that he made with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he didn't want to destroy them. So therefore he did not cast them out from before his face until that time. He has his own chesbonos, and nobody can go ahead and tell the Rebbeinu Shem how to feel. The king of Aram died. This is as we said, Ben Hadad the third. Yoshav Yehoash ben Yehoachaz. What I told you at the end of chapter Yudalid, it's really, it begins over here. By Yoshav Yehoash ben Yehoachaz, by Yikach et Ha'arim Miyad ben Hadad ben Chazal. Yehoash, the son of Yehoachaz, brought back, he returned. Like we can't say that we are returning Yehuda v'Sharon, God forbid, because you only return something that belonged to somebody. Here it was their land. So by Yoshav Yehoash ben Yehoachaz by Yikach et Ha'arim Miyad, he took the cities from the hands of Ben Hadad ben Chazal, Asher Lokach Miyad Yehoachaz, that he had taken from Yehoachaz of it by Milchama in war. In other words, Chazal had taken lands of Eretz Yisrael from Yehoachaz, the father of Yoash in war. And Shalosh Pa'amim Hikahu Yoash. Shalosh Pa'amim Hikahu Yoash. 3 times Yoash smote him. By Yoshev et Ari Yisrael, and he returned the lands of Israel. He returned the lands. Because he hit with the chayes 3 times. That's all. More than that, now in Divrei Hayamim, I don't think it says it here. In Divrei Hayamim, it says what lands. They were the lands of Eber Hayarden. And, of all things, the area of the Yarden and Naharayim.
Mm-hmm.
My Tanakh has a picture of the Naharayim area right near the Yarden. All of that land was taken back, it was returned. Okay.